You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Well, greetings, friends. It is so nice to see you. Happy Sunday morning to all of you watching here in Austin, Texas, in the States, and around the globe. Gosh, it's great to have you. I see you out there in your PJs having home church, and that's great. It's now legal, so go for it. Home church is legal in Austin, Texas. Moms, grandmoms, stepmoms, to-be moms, all kinds of moms, adopted moms, you name it, happy Mother's Day. This weekend is for you, and it's not enough. But I want to tell you, I've been thinking about my mama a lot this week, and she's in heaven. But man, you guys literally make the world go round. So thank you so much. My message today is for you, and I want to talk about some things we learned from you. So if you're in a room with a mama right now, hug them, high five them, whatever. We just really love you guys. Let me pray, and I'll get going. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this time. I ask you to humble me, activate my skills and gifts, and may this time be encouraging and used all over the globe for your name and for your glory. Amen. A quick matter. I know you guys are continuing to wonder what our schedule is as far as having church again in our respective locations. I think you've heard from the announcement we made this week. We're not in a hurry. We're not intending to have any gatherings in the month of May. We'll take it a week or a month at a time. And for May, we're not going to do anything. We'll talk to you after the first of the end of May and see if we may have a June schedule for you, but we just don't know yet. We're not in a hurry. We want to get it right. We want to do it safely and well and keep your safety most of all at the forefront. And so be patient with us. The good news is, I keep telling you, our church is thriving. It's thriving in every imaginable way, which is kind of funny because we're not gathering. So what does that tell you? Way to go, people. We'll keep you posted. Keep praying. Thank you for your giving, but God's got it. We'll figure it out. Okay. We're in no hurry. So if you got a Bible or a smartphone or something nearby, find Genesis, the third chapter. And I want to read to you a really interesting verse that doesn't get a lot of attention because Genesis chapter 3, we talk so much about the Genesis 3 reality. There's so much negative in Genesis 3 as Adam and Eve sin and God hands off this just brutal sentence to humanity and to the enemy and all the things that are going on. There's this really amazing little verse tucked in there that brings all this hope into the world in Genesis 3. And it's about moms. It's about mothering. My topic today is what motherhood teaches us about God. In my Ask Any Questions class we do online a couple of weeks ago, someone said, does God have a feminine side because God made male and female? And while he's revealed as the heavenly father, is there a heavenly mother characteristic of God? Is there a feminine nature to God? And the answer is absolutely there is. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to create females in his image. Men are only half the picture. And mothering shows us a lot about part of the nature of God we don't necessarily get to see in men and in fathers. And so on this Mother's Day, I want to look through the lens of a mama and project that onto God and see what we can learn about God from mothers. So all you mothers ought to be really encouraged out there. Here's the verse. Genesis 3 verse 20 says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living things. Where did that come from? All this bad stuff and all this judgment, and God ends judging Adam. And the next verse, boom, Adam named, at some point in the future, going forward, Adam looks at his wife, who has at this point not been named. It's the first use of the name Eve in Scripture, and says, I'm going to give you a name. And it's the name Eve, because it comes, because you're the mother of all living. I'll say more about that momentarily. By the word, the use of the word mother here in Scripture, moms, you'll love this. It's literally the word you would use for a dam, like Mansfield Dam, Tom Miller Dam. It's something that prevents leaks, moms. Isn't that great? It's something that is, it's a bond. It's a glue. It's something that holds everything else in or everything else together. That's the Hebrew concept of mother. So it literally comes from the word dam. And it's the glue behind the family. That's the concept of the Hebrew, which is so appropriate. So as Adam has this, I guess, permission from God, look, you're going to die, but you're not going to die right now. So life's going to go on. So go ahead and name your bride. What is the Eve before day? Eve is before. Christmas Eve is the moment before Christmas. Well, mothers are before everything. And so the first mother was named the one before. She was the mother of everything that was to come after that, which is such a beautiful concept. It's obviously a huge statement of faith by Adam that life was going to go on, or he wouldn't have named his wife for things who had yet to been given life to. He named her Eve in advance of childbirth because he was understanding God's grace and mercy. Life's going to come. I need to name her appropriately. So as we look to God through the lens of a mom, I'm going to tell you just the big point is that we see through mamas, God is the life giver because mamas are life givers too. So what we see in looking at God is that he is the life giver and that he is first and foremost the source of everything. Like mama is the source of you and me, God is the source of all of us. So there's a play on words that the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of the living. So here's how it works in the Hebrew. The man named his wife Kaviv because she was Kav. It's almost the same word. Eve is connected to the root word living. So it's a play on words. It'd be like if I said, I'm going to name my wife Zoe because she's the life giver. Zoe being life in the Greek language. So he says, hey, Eve, you're Kaviv because you're Kav. You're the life giver. So we learn from moms that there's a source for all life. Mamas don't have babies random. There's a reason mamas have babies. There's an act that creates life between a husband and a wife. There's no such thing as random life. So listen to these verses from the scriptures that talk about the significance of life to God and how it comes. The first two verses of scripture, Genesis 1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering, get this picture, over the face of the waters. The word hovering is also brooding, considering, looking at. I want to take that image and tell you that is exactly what happens in the work of the Holy Spirit in the womb before a child is born, after conception takes place. So think about what God says in Psalm 139 about the work of his Spirit in the womb. Remember, God is the source of everything. So Psalm 139, wonderful passage. I think most of you are familiar with it. David says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when there was yet none of them. So that, I want you to picture that picture of the Holy Spirit brooding over the waters before the moment of the next creation, when God said, let there be light. I want you to picture the Holy Spirit brooding in the womb of a woman, a mama, source of life, knitting, working, intricately forming a perfect gift called a human being. The parallel, I'm standing here in this office talking to you right now with goosebumps head to toe. The parallel between Genesis and the creation account and the work of the Spirit and what God does in the life of a woman, in the womb of a woman, the body of a woman to create life are so similar. He chose a woman to do this. By the way, he chose to do this in a female as the source of life. He picked the eves of the world to be the beginnings, the night before the life that is to come. It's really amazing. So the first time God worked in you and on you was in the womb of your mother. That's that source concept. You have to understand the significance of the work of the Spirit of God and in the incubator of your mama while you're being formed. It's a holy place. It's a holy event. And it's the same way that God began to speak and say, let there be light, and let there be vegetation, let there be animals and insects and birds in the womb in that formation period through how he's designed genetics. He speaks and says, let there be blue eyes. Let there be a male or a female. Let there be a 6-foot frame. Let there be these gifts and these skills and these talents. Let there be this story that's going to be told. All that in the womb of a mama. Isn't that amazing? We learn so much about God's sourcing of us as the ultimate source of all things by how he sources us through the life of our moms. It's humbling to think about. And I'm never going to say I'm jealous of women because I don't want to ever have to bear children, but the honor you guys have bestowed on you by being able to bear children, whether you do or not, just having that assignment being given to females is unreal. It's so beautiful as God teaches us about how he is the source of all things through you. He also teaches us what we also learn looking up through the lens of mama, not just that God is the source of all things, we also learn how God, his nature is sharing. All the kids out there watching from various living rooms, you're probably taught to share. Well, there's a sharing, that sharing is woven into us by our Heavenly Father because he shares with us who he is. And that's exactly what happens when mama is carrying a baby. But let's first start with God. He through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit being in us, he enables us to partake of who he is. We have fellowship with him. Oh, both testaments say we taste of him and discover that he is really good. And so he takes his nature and his identity as a holy God, and he inserts that into us through the Holy Spirit. He transforms us and gives us life as his nature and his substance and his holy blood flows into us. That's the sharing. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5 says, for our sake, he, Jesus, for our sake, God made him, Jesus, to become sin. He took on our nature so that we might become righteousness of God in him. So there's this nature exchange that takes place in Jesus Christ that we actually pick up and carry his righteousness. We become the righteousness of God. It flows through our veins. We're made holy. We're made saints by the Holy Spirit living in us in Christ and dwelling in us and flowing through our veins. 2 Peter verse 1, verse 3 and 4, it says that we are partakers of the divine nature. I don't understand that concept enough. It is that we actually get to experience little bits and pieces of divinity in us to think and feel and love and be generous like God is because of the Holy Spirit. We partake of his nature. He shares his nature, his chemistry, his life with us. So what happens when a mom is carrying a baby? That the safety of that womb, and that protective home for a child, and through the umbilical cord, mama's nutrients, mama's blood, mama's oxygen, mama's health is all flowing into that child. She shares from the moment of conception. She shares her body as a place where the child can grow and develop. She has to make room for a human being to grow. Many, we don't have a clue. Guys, we do not have a clue. She has to make room for another human to develop within her and then come out of her in what is obviously a very traumatic and violent and sometimes extremely dangerous act. But she's sharing from the first moment of conception, and that's what God is. We learn this looking through mamas, that God's a sharer. We get his divine nature in us. So we get a lot of our human nature from the instant of conception from my moms. And the protectiveness of that womb is where we are able to be cultivated and be grown and have that safe place that she allows us to have in her to grow and develop. And so much of our substance is formed right then and there. It's sharing. It's come on in. I'm gonna let my body be yours until you can come out 9 months later and function on your own. My body is your body. That's sharing. Wow. That's what God did. My body, the church, it's your body. I'm the head. My blood's gonna flow through you. It's so amazing. Okay, final thing. It's really humbling. I've been so humbled working on this message this week, looking at God from the motherhood side and what we learned. There's so many more things I could talk about. I'm gonna stop with these three, but there's so many more things we could mention. The final thing I want you guys to think about is the S. I've got, he is the source of all things, that he is the sharer of all things. The final S is the word sacrifice. And this is most like God in his nature. So sacrifice is a concept we don't like talking much about, but you can't look at gods or mamas. You can't look at God or mama and not think about sacrifice. Perhaps the best one sentence description of the whole message of the Bible is that God so loved the world, he gave. You know this, it's John 3:16. God loved the world so much, he gave. The nature of God is giving. The nature of mama is giving. What did he give? He gave his only son. So that we could have life. The clearest picture of God in scripture is that of a giver and one who makes sacrifice for others. They didn't have to. Does anybody here know of a single mom, not a single non-married mom, of any mom who hasn't had her story covered with the concept of sacrifice? I mean, top to bottom, the beginning to end of a mama's story from the moment of conception, when she has to put her body aside and her health aside to make room for this baby to develop and grow and become life, often at great, great sacrifice and expense for mama. So my daughter-in-law is pregnant with our second grandchild. And sweet Amy is about, she's still in her first trimester. And you know what? She is really, really sick. She's having a tough, and she's got a raging 17-month-old running around the house at the same time. My grandson, Caleb, and Will, and Bennett, the massive golden doodle who lives with him, and she's trying to manage this whole household, and she's sick as a dog. The reason she's sick is because that baby's taking all of her nutrients. He's healthy. That's why she's sick. He's healthy. So she is on, I mean, her freedom and her ability to do her life right now is over because of how sick she is. And she's going to get more and more pregnant and have this baby and then devote to having an infant around for a while, along with raising Caleb, who'll be two at the time his younger brother or sister is born. Yes, we're thrilled about it, by the way. But it's reminding me of the sacrifices mamas make from the very beginning. But then that's not it. It's the late nights. It's the nights with no sleep. It's the nights when the only time you can get the child to be quiet. And dads make this too, but mamas are kind of default. It's the night that you have to stay up all night holding the child because they won't sleep. It's the career or the hobbies or the independent time set aside for the sake of the child. It's not having time to read your Bible. It's not having time to pray because there's always someone needy around you. It's an investment of life that mamas never, ever, ever get over. There's references to Mary all through scripture as she was treasuring her things, the things in her heart, knowing that something was going to come of Christ that was very unique. And she hid them in her heart, knowing this is going to cost me. One of the people who prophesied over Mary right when Jesus was born was, a soul's going to pierce even a sword's going to pierce your own soul about him. This is going to hurt. Your own son's going to bring you great pain when he dies. So mamas teach us about the gift of sacrifice and how the nature of God is to give and to give at significant expense. So I was reading this morning in my Bible about the story of Samson and how his mother, who's never named in Scripture, it's curious, they give Samson's dad's name, but they only call Samson's mom the woman or the mother of Samson. She's never given a name. We don't know why, because she's a hero. And she was unable to bear children, and late in her years, very much like Sarah and other stories in Scripture, God appears to her and says, you're going to have a child, but listen, this child is going to be very special, and so you can't drink wine, you can't eat certain foods, you have to take care of yourself because you're giving birth to something really significant. And so the angel comes back not long after that and says the same thing to the dad. Look, you got to keep her healthy. She can't drink wine. She can't eat certain foods. She has to sacrifice all these things for this child. That's parent. That's motherhood. It's got sacrifice. Ask any mama. Mothering has sacrifice built into it by definition, and that sacrificing never, ever ends. So what do we learn about God? From moms, we learn that he's a source of all life, that he's the Eve of all beginnings, and that like him, moms are our Eves. They're the night before us. There is no us without them. It's such a beautiful picture. We learn that he is a sharer, that he shares his nature with us and his spirit with us, and it transforms us, and that mamas from the very beginning share of their nature with us, and we are given life through their sharing, and we're also given life through their sacrifice. We're given life spiritually through the sacrifice of Jesus. We're given life spiritually, physically, through the sacrifice of our moms, that they give their bodies, literally. What a gift. Moms, I can't honor you enough. So I was asking an ACFer, I was on a phone call today with some leaders. This is so great. It's Mother's Day weekend, and leaders are on there, and one of our leaders is a mama. And I said, what are you going to do this weekend for Mother's Day? What are you going to do, Sunny, for Mother's Day? And she said, well, we're going to start in the kitchen, and then we'll probably move to the living room, and then we'll probably go outside. That's my Mother's Day. So they don't have a lot of big plans, and I laughed and said, I'm going to share that. You know, we're going to go to the kitchen first, and the living room, and the outside. That may be the whole day we have. Not a lot of opportunity to really do a lot of celebrating, but I really want to do my best this weekend, moms, to help you get, and all of us who are fans of moms, to get your mind around the beauty of the picture of God that you give us. With your patience and with your sacrifice, with your unconditional love, with your quick forgiveness, with the pain you bear on our behalf. Another area I could have gone, I didn't have time, was intercession. Jesus constantly prays for us. Mamas constantly pray for us. There's so many things. Friends, you have a beautiful picture. If you've got a mama, and all of us do, you got a beautiful picture of what God is like. He's a source of everything. He shares everything he has with us. And we're richer for it, and we're alive for it, and he's a sacrificing, caring father, and that's who mama is. That's what she teaches us about God. Yay, God. So, honor those great women in our midst and in our lives. If you have to go visit a cemetery somewhere, it's worth the trip today to honor that woman. Make a phone call, do a Zoom call, do some FaceTime. Don't let COVID keep you from giving the appropriate honor to these wonderful pictures of what God is really like for us. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love you. I thank you for this time. You've really encouraged me through this message about who you are and how you use mamas to teach us about you. And we just thank you for the gift of motherhood and the gift of life that comes from it, Lord. And I pray you'll bless every woman hearing this message because you chose them as females. Whether they ever give life through birth or not, you chose them as females to have that option, to be the one through whom you procreate and the one that you would choose to let their bodies bear the burden of bringing humans into the world and the honor of them. So I pray for every woman, I pray for every mama, every grandmom, every adopted mom, every neighbor mom out there. They'll feel so blessed and holy today of the role you've given them in culture, that they are the Eves of our world. Lord, yeah, Eve gets a lot of rap for being the woman who ate the apple with her husband. but we don't give her enough credit for being the mother of everything. Thank you for that concept. Bless these sweet ladies today. We pray this in Jesus' name.